Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Now, we are waiting on Jeffrey Simmons to get to the podium. He will speak to the media on his new deal with the Tennessee Titans. But before we get to Jeff, we will get to him as soon as he is up to the podium. We will carry that live for you here on 102.5, The Game in its entirety. But before we get to that, have you, either of you, heard anything that has come out about Jeffrey Simmons' agent or anything that his agent has said over the last few days?
No, I know that he's sort of, you know, he's a lawyer, but he's sort of new to the game as far as being an agent. So that's really all I know.
He's new. And Jared pointed this out to me, that he was on a show and said that he was hoping, and this was after the deal was done. Mm-hmm. So inked the deal, you know, his first big win in the NFL as an agent. He went on a podcast, a show, and said that he was hoping and praying that the Titans would lose to Jacksonville in that final game of the season so Jeffrey Simmons wouldn't get hurt in the playoffs. Because that would have hurt the deal and would have made it a little bit more difficult for his negotiations.
Hey, he was being honest.
What?
He was, that's, okay, it, as crazy as it sounds, you don't expect that to come out of somebody's mouth, but obviously, it was after the fact. He probably didn't say it to Jeffrey before the game.
I would hope not.
After the fact, he probably was like, Jeff, man, you know, I hate that y'all didn't make the playoffs, but it's good because you didn't subject yourself to further injury, because we got to remember Jeff was playing on a bad ankle the whole season. So on one hand, we want guys to be honest and tell us how they feel. But then on the other hand, when they do, it's like, why did you say that? Well, I mean, yeah, why did you say that? But he's being honest, and his man didn't already ink the deal, so he don't care.
Yeah,
you know,
the deal's
like
done.
Whatever, the deal's done now.
I understand the perspective from athletes and coaches. Like, mm-hmm. We want you to say more. And then when they say too much, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, back up.
It in reverse. But the agent, say, that seems very me, 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 me. It's all about me and my cut of the deal and my wins and my success for Jeffrey Simmons' deal. When Jeffrey Simmons is in tears after losing to Jacksonville because he's so beat up about the loss. It feels very selfish on the part of the agent.
I'd like to hear the context
exactly
of the question. Was he kind of half joking? I'm always a little bit hesitant to jump on a guy. I want to hear how it went down, mm-hmm. if we have that recorded or anything like that. But, I mean, when you're new, mm-hmm. you're maybe exuberant a little bit.
Yeah.
You say things that maybe other agents wouldn't say publicly. Yeah. But, I mean,
they saying it privately, but they ain't saying it publicly.
I think the most important thing, though, is Jeffrey Simmons. He played, right? Mm-hmm. He did not ever have the business keep him from going in there and doing everything he could to try to keep the season afloat. And he was hurting. He was hurting after that ankle injury.
And that is the agent's job, is to protect his player.
Yeah.
And listen, if you get into the playoffs and your ankle's already hurt bad, mm-hmm. and you end up hurting it again, you know what the Tennessee Titans are going to do? They're going to use that against you, whether we mm-hmm. like it or not. And it's a part of negotiations. Mm-hmm. They will somehow, some way, every team, not just the Tennessee Titans, but every team, if you go into your contract year at the end of the season and you get hurt last game of the season, best believe that will come up in negotiations. So, I mean, he said it. He said out loud what it should have been said, like, behind closed doors. But it's the truth. Because if Jeffrey, he was already dealing with an ankle injury. If Jeffrey gets hurt, they go on a playoff. Jeffrey get hurt the first game of the playoffs and say he has to have surgery. Titans are going to use that against him. They're not going to want to give him $60-plus million guaranteed.
I understand the sentiment, but, man, to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to say it.
When the number one code of an agent is, the idea is athlete first, client first, feels a little bit of me first.
No, that was client first. That was client first because
I see what you're saying. You're right. I agree with that.
It's client first because he's like, listen, I'm protecting my. It has nothing to do. I'm not going to say it doesn't have anything to do with him because he gets paid based upon. Yeah. But he's like, listen, my player, the person that I represent, if we get in the playoffs and he gets hurt.
Girl, if he gets in the playoffs.
And he get hurt.
Not we.
If he gets hurt, then that affects him, which affects me. He has to. All the agents. I don't care. Name me one agent. They're all trying to get as much money. Why? Especially when you see these AAVs and then you look at their guarantee money. Don't tell me that AAV has something to do with the player. That had nothing to do with the player because it's guaranteed money.
The victory lap for the agent.
Exactly. It's the victory lap for the agent. So, to me, you know, he just said what he was feeling. And I'm sure he told Jeff that, too, afterwards.
Ooh. All right. We will hear from Jeffrey Simmons coming up next. Caroline Malay, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are waiting to hear from Jeffrey Simmons. He will speak with the media. It should be in the next few minutes. He'll be approaching the podium very soon at St. Thomas Sports Park. Another thing that I'm interested to hear from Jeffrey Simmons, how did this deal come about? Because the Titans didn't need to sign him today. They didn't need to sign him this past week. He's under contract for the next year. If Jeffrey Simmons wanted to continue negotiations, if he wasn't, you know, absolutely, totally in love with the deal that was on the table, he didn't necessarily have to take it. So what was it right now? What is the sweet spot right now? Is it Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans each saying, like, hey, let's just go ahead and get this over with. Let's get this done. Or was it, I don't know. But the timing is very interesting.
I think that was Rand Carthon's first priority as GM. Is to, especially after, and we talked about this the other day, Caroline, especially after that article came out and, you know, Jeff saying the Titans, you know, don't know where they're going to get the money from, this and that and that and this. So I'm sure that when Rand took the job, I'm sure the thing was, hey, your first priority, let's get Jeffrey signed. Let's do it now before all these other guys start signing, and that might push the value up even higher. So let's sign him, get him out the way, you know, extend the contract where we're still paying him $10 million this year, so it's low on the cap. Next year is when he kicks in. And it ends up being a, you know, a win-win for the Titans because they got it done. It's over with now. They don't have to worry about it. And it's a win for Jeffrey because now he has his money no matter what. He has the guaranteed $60-something million.
Yeah, that article will always be something I remember. But it is now water under the bridge. I'm just glad for Jeffrey Simmons that he got the help that he needed. Mm-hmm. I like that it appears to be a win-win contract. I don't think, you know, he didn't go with Lee Steinberg, or name whatever high profile Jerry Maguire, you know, an agent that we've heard of, right? Like
they,
at first,
you're
like, he came in
first
with no agent, and you're like, wait a minute, how is this going to work? Then I think he got enough help to where he got the Players Association probably said, okay, Jeffrey, good job. You got what you deserve there. Mm-hmm. And I think the team's like, hey, we got this done. We got it done in a reasonable time. And now we can address other things. I just liked that it worked out that way for him, because when that article was written, I was like, ooh, where could this be going?
That was weird.
Yeah.
So odd. I will go back. And that the article that we're referencing, the Athletic article that came out about midway point through the season, where Jeffrey Simmons said he was having conversations with John Robinson, and John Robinson said, we want to pay you, but we don't know where the money is coming from. We want to pay you, but we don't know how. I will never, ever rationalize what in the world that means and why John Robinson would ever say that to Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, it's one of those, because my thing is, if you're not going to sign him right now, which was last year, then that's something that you don't say. You just say, listen, we're going to continue to try to work at it and go from there. You don't say, well, I don't know where we're going to get the money from and this and that. It's just like, now you have the player thinking like, man, I might not be here, like, what, you know, what's going on here? So you leave the player sort of in limbo in the sense of, am I going to be here or not? And I think when Rand comes in, he's like, listen, let's get this deal done now, you know, because we don't want it to become a A.J. Brown situation where I guarantee you, if they hadn't gotten a deal done before the draft, there would have been speculation somehow, some way that came up and say, well, Jeffrey Simmons, he might get traded, even though it might not have been true. Mm-hmm. But because of the lingering, you know, contract situation with him, there could have been something thrown out there. You know, Jeff might get traded, or he's not happy, or the team is looking to do this and that. And, you know, Rand is like, listen, we don't want any of that going into the draft. We're going to sign him. This is how much money he's worth. This is what we're going to give him. It's not as much as Aaron Donald, but you're going to be the highest paid defensive tackle outside of Aaron Donald when we're talking guarantee money.
Yeah, and it's, if John Robinson was telling the truth, why would you say that? Like, why would you show your cards? Why would you basically give Jeffrey Simmons a key to a peek behind the curtain of what's going on with John Robinson and Amy Adams Drunk as far as their finances are going? And if it's not true, that's awfully manipulative.
Yeah.
That's awfully cruel.
Well, once again, it was hearsay. It wasn't a John Robinson quote. It was coming from, I can't remember who from Jeffrey Simmons' side specifically put that out there.
But whoever was working for him at the time.
Yeah, but there could have been a lot of different ways that conversation had gone. It could have just simply meant, hey, look, we're not ready to sign a deal that particular year, which would have been the year, not this, before last year, mm-hmm. I guess is what the best way to put it. He might have said, we don't have the money under the cap right now. I don't know when that was. I don't know what exactly the date of this conversation actually happened. So there's a lot of room for interpretation of what exactly was said in the context. And at this point, it's water under the bridge.
It is, yeah.
They worked it out. You know, you think about the nightmare that's going on in Baltimore right now.
Mm-hmm.
No agent, right? And there are some similarities, right? Lamar Jackson kind of wanted the new deal last year.
Mm-hmm.
He played. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. Still doesn't have an agent. And there's where they are right now.
And that goes to my saying about his agent and why his agent said, Jeffrey Simmons' agent said what he said. Lamar Jackson plays,
got hurt.
What everybody, he always get hurt. They're using it against him. So I don't mind an agent saying that, because why? He's absolutely right. He's protecting his player.
I understand where you're coming from, 100%. But to say that I'm glad that they didn't make the playoffs, or I'm glad that they lost, because then he wouldn't have gotten as good of a contract, it just feels very icky to me. It feels very, it takes humanity out of it whenever
it's an icky sport.
Business is icky.
Yeah.
But it just feels like when Jeffrey Simmons, after that loss to Jacksonville, when he's sitting in his locker in tears, talking about how he put his body on the line, he was shooting his ankle up every single day in order to win football games for this team. And you're saying, well, I was sitting back in the background saying, whoo, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that I can go take this to the bank now. It feels very, very disingenuous.
It's the truth, though, because if that man breaks his ankle in a playoff game, and then everybody's screaming, don't pay Jeffrey. Keep him, but don't pay him the money that he wanted. Everybody's screaming it. Because they're doing it with Lamar. He's injury prone. He got injured, this and that. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Caroline, and you're right. But I understand the flip side of it, too. These organizations, whether it be the Titans, Baltimore, any organization out there, any sport, if you get injured, they're going to use it against you when it comes to negotiation time.
And the second part of that, what kind of agent goes on a podcast to talk about the deal that he got for his
a new one.
A new one, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? Act like you've been there before.
He hasn't.
But act like it.
He hasn't.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
He's a
let
newbie.
Me go. Let me, you know, let me go out here and I'll flaunt my wins and I'll like look at all this money that I got for my client. Let me talk on the podcast. Let me make it about me.
That was more so. Again, that was more so for potential clients that he may get because of the
that's exactly what
because
it was
of the, what you call it, because of the Jeffrey Simmons deal. So he went on that podcast to let you know, hey, listen, we negotiated the Jeffrey Simmons deal. He's the highest. He has the most guaranteed money outside of Aaron Donald. Come to me. Like Suge Knight say, come to death row. Come to death row.
Help me help you. But it always feels very, look what I did, so I can do that for you. Mm-hmm. When it's no. Look what Jeffrey Simmons did. Look at the contract that he earned that I simply just facilitated, that I simply just have my signature next to it.
Hey.
Let Jeff take his victory walk.
Oh, he's taking it 94 million times.
He should. We're still waiting on Jeffrey Simmons to get to the podium. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll get back to Jeffrey Simmons on the other side. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Waiting on Jeffrey Simmons to head to the podium. A tardy little Jeffrey Simmons today.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
He's back there counting his money.
He's out shopping.
Exactly. I don't blame him. He's taking his time. Listen.
As he should. We were discussing Jeffrey Simmons' agent. He went on a podcast, said, you know, hey, I'm glad that the Titans didn't beat the Jags in the final week of the year. And we did all these things. Mm-hmm. We did all these things. He didn't do a darn thing. Jeffrey Simmons did it. But, D-Mice, I will ask you, you've been in that situation before. You have had agents who have negotiated contracts for you. How would you feel if your agent went on a podcast and talked and said the same things that Jeffrey Simmons' agent did?
I wouldn't mind. I mean, as long as he's not saying anything that's detrimental to me as the player and to make my relationship with the team, contentious, then, I'm cool with it. But I'm with Willie. I want to know what was the question? How was it phrased? And then how did he answer it and continue to answer it? You know, I want to see his face. Did he smile about it? Was he like tongue in cheek? Like, yeah, I'm glad because we can take, and we all do it. No, I mean, I do it. We can take a soundbite, especially if we don't see it and we just read it, and it's a little soundbite. We could take that and sort of run with it any way we want to run with it. This situation is sort of the same. You know, we can take it any way we want to take it. We can take it the way of you shouldn't have said it, and that's crazy to say. Or we can take it as, well, maybe it was tongue-in-cheek and he was sort of laughing about it. It was sort of a joking thing with it. I would love to see, how the question was asked of him, and then subsequently his facial reaction, his body language, or how he answered that question, because it's just like text. Some things you say in text, you may be playing, and the other person on the other end takes it as, you being condescending.
Literally, yeah,
or
you're
something
serious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're on the other end, you're laughing. But it's because it's text. Now, when you pick up the phone and say it to somebody, it's a different story because now I know exactly how you're meaning what you're saying.
The other thing, too, that I think it underlines is I think that Jeffrey Simmons was not easy for him to play. He wanted to play. Mm-hmm. But with every passing week that he played on his ankle, he risked it getting worse, and it wasn't getting a whole lot better, right? But in the playoffs is a whole other thing. You're going to do anything you can to play in the playoffs, and that's more time. So it is a natural thought. The only place he might have gone out of bounds a little bit to say, I was hoping that they would lose. Like, yeah. If he just leaves that out, yeah, and says, I was really glad that he didn't injure anything further.
Exactly.
Because he was hurting. He played hurt. Like, he could have couched it that way. Nobody would have batted an eye.
Framing, I think, is the most important thing. Is it seems very selfish and very unprofessional to say, I'm glad they lost. Mm-hmm. Where the sentiment, I get it, is I'm glad he could stay healthy. Where you keep it very client forward, which is how I think an agent should act. How I think an agent should think and should be is client first. Whereas glad they lost. Glad Jeff's crying in his locker room because they lost. So I could, they could get a bigger deal and I could cash in on a little bit more. I think that's the framing of it is it's unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure. I mean, if he would have said, and we don't know if he said it or not, because again, can't see the podcast unless we cut sign a quarter. Kind of, you know, fish through the internet and find it if it was a, you know, even if it's on there. But maybe he could have said, man, you know, a part of me is happy they didn't make it, you know, because my client was already injured. They had set him out the game before the Jacksonville game, I believe. So he could be ready to go versus Jacksonville. And he's probably thinking, you know, a part of me is happy that my, you know, that the Titans didn't make it, because now he has to continue to get shot up and sent out there. People don't understand. Like, when you get that shot, you're susceptible of hurting yourself even more because you really can't feel the pain. You know, you go out there, and after that shot wears off, I am going to tell you, that crap hurt. I've sat in the bed plenty of times, had a broken scapula for like 10 weeks and would shoot it up every game. And at night when that stuff wore off, I could not sleep because it was hurting so bad. And I'm sure that's what Jeffrey was going through, playing 300 pounds on that ankle. Yeah.
Oof, it hurts. But Jeffrey Simmons is up at the podium now. We will take it to St. Thomas Sports Park. This is Jeffrey Simmons.
Very happy occasion to officially announced the extension of Jeff Simmons. You know, there's a model for what you want, you know, a player to be and what you want your organization to look like. And I think Jeff is one of those models, you know, for us. So this was something that was a priority to get done. You know, with that said, I want to thank Chad Brinker, assistant GM, and Vin Marino for all the work, you know, that they put in to making this happen, as well as Jeff's representative, Paul Darrisell. You know, it was not a moment where we weren't talking. Our first initial meeting to get something started, to get the conversation started, came a little bit after the Senior Bowl. And from that moment, we were diligently working to get this done. And it ultimately came to a conclusion last weekend sometime. So want to keep this brief. This day is about Jeff. This day is about all the work he's put in and the player he's become and the player he's going to continue to be for us. So with that said, I want to bring up our head coach, Mike Vrabel, to say a few words.
Thank you, Ran. Jeffrey, congratulations to you, to your family. You know, Jeff embodies everything that we want in a Titan. From the time that we drafted him, from the time that we went down and spent time with you at Mississippi State, you know, you answered a lot of questions truthfully, honestly. You're a great example to our community. So thank you. You've earned this. We're going to continue to hold you to a high standard. That'll be the fun part, but certainly embody everything we believe in here as a team captain, a leader in your performance, you know, on the field. So obviously thanks to Ran, Chad, you know, on behalf of our entire organization and Miss Amy and her family, congratulations, man, you earned this.
Oh, man. Coach Vrabel speech almost gave me a little tears. But, nah, man, first I want to say thanks to God. Without God, I wouldn't be in this situation. I wouldn't be in this place to stand for, before you guys. Have came and overcame a lot of adversity throughout this journey. Appreciate you, Ren. Appreciate the Titans organization. Miss Amy, from day one, I told Miss Amy that I would never let her down. And, you know, from this day forward, standing up here now, you know, I texted Ms. Amy after we came to a conclusion that, you know, we came to an agreement. And I told her how much I appreciate her for trusting in me from day one. And when she sent back to me, she told me that, you know, you promised me that you would never let me down. And, you know, you haven't. And that right there, it hit something inside because, you know, to have a female owner, a lady owner in the NFL to trust in you so much, from kind of the adversity that I went through throughout my
my journey to get here. You know, it means so much to me. So, Ms. Amy, I appreciate you so much to the Titans organization. You know, we have a lot of work to do. We just getting started. To my family, who with me, no matter, you know, highs, lows, bad, the ugly, whatever, the good, you know, they stick with me. You know, I have not such a good game, and they still say, you play good. So, you know, just to have them on by my side each and every week, each and every game, like I said, I appreciate them so much. And Paul, I'm sure Rand know that Paul going to make sure that things get done. He going to make sure you're on the phone. And I was like, Paul, all right, man, listen, stop calling me until something get done. Like, I'm tired of talking, like, every other day. It's like, Paul Doriselli calling. So I'm like, all right, Paul, do we got something? But, man, just the commitment that Paul made to me and my uncle, of course, me and my uncle started this thing called Walking Business. You know, of course, coming out of college, you know, I didn't sign with an agent. That's the road I wanted to go. You know, just having a mentor like my uncle who played in this league 10 years and, you know, to trust him that, okay, I'm not going to steer you wrong. And we brought Paul along, and Paul haven't let us down. He one of them guys who kept his word, and, you know, I appreciate you, Paul. And like I said to my uncle, Jason Hatcher, is a big mentor to me throughout this process. You know, been, you know, just stay patient has been a big word. And, you know, I think that's the most stressful part about it. You know, as you guys know, I think when you're working on a deal, I think Coach Rabe and Rand could tell you, like, you know, being patient is the biggest thing. And that also taught me another lesson as I was going through this process. It's like, you know, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what may happen. You know, not one time did I not think I won't be in Tennessee. I won't be playing in Tennessee, but it was all about when would this everything get done, because I was ready for all the noise to, like, clear out. You know, I think a lot of questions about, like, me, my Instagram and this and that. I think the main thing was me blocking out the noise because I wanted to focus on getting healthy, training, and stuff in that nature, and not, you know, worrying about social media and what everyone's saying on social media. So, like I said, to my family, like I said again, I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. You know, and it's just not for me. You guys are the reason why I wake up each and every day wanting to be the best I can be each and every day. You know, my mom, single parent. So, you know, just to see how much we have came from, see the journey we've been on as a family, it's crazy. You know, I think, man, just from house to house, apartment to apartment, sharing a bed with my brother. Now we good. We, you know, it's just not, you know, my kids, you know, this generation wealth, as we call it, like, this is what I do it for, man. Every day I wake up, I just think about them hard times where I know my mom didn't feel like it. And for some time, I could be like, I'm hurting. But I think about my mom having to raise 5 kids on her own. And for me to say, I don't want to do this, you know, that's my motivation, my family. So, sorry about that. But, man, this is, I'm grateful. I'm excited. I never saw myself wearing anything but the two-tone blue other than, you know, holding up a Super Bowl ring and a gold jacket. So that's the only thing I ever saw myself outside of wearing the two-tone blue. So, like I said, I'm excited, and the work just really getting started.
Appreciate it.
Well, for me individually, I think the biggest thing for me is keep getting healthy each and every day. I'm working towards getting back to myself. You know, I want to be 1,000%. I want to help this football team the best way I can, and I think the best way is being healthy on the field,
been 100%. Well, I'm not going to say 100% because playing this game, you'll never be 100%. So, you know, how healthy can I be each and every game, each and every day, if you never practice? Because Ray joked about the practice calls. But, you know, I just want to be available. I want to be available for my team, healthy the best way I can be. And I think that just taking the next step and how can I take care of my body, how can I take care of my mental and stuff in that nature. But, man, I know the type of guys that – and I know the type of team we trying to build here in Tennessee. I've been here long enough to understand that. And I think when you have a head coach like Vrabe and have a – like the culture we have here and we trying to build here in Tennessee – I think once you get, especially these new guys in, when you get them to buy in to what we really want, and I think that's where make a team. I think like this OTAs, this doing camp and all this stuff like that, that's going to show and like tell what type of team we have. And I don't, like I said, I don't know, you know, of course we already have a different team right now. So when it's time for camp and get just to get around these guys, you know, they going to understand quick kind of what's our culture and the way we want to play around here in Tennessee, and they're going to get to our ultimate goal, and that's to win the championship around here. And I think, you know, that's always the goal at the end of the season. So I think that's the next step as a team. And, of course, like, I'm a guy who's going to put the team first, and my mindset is we have to win. And we didn't came up short too many times, and I think this season we have to work extremely harder and just to get to our main goal.
I think it was 2019, the last time we had maybe one of these press conferences for you. You're 22 years old. Do you think you have grown more as a person, as a player since then, or maybe the combination of both?
Nah, man, I know for a fact I have grown. I know, you know, because if you don't grow, especially as a player in this league, from year one to I'm going into year five now, I don't think I'd be sitting on a podium right now, you know. So, I mean, I just commend the people who I have around me who push me so hard, you know, especially when I'm in this building, you know. Now, I think to have a coach and have a position coach like Coach T, you know, Coach Vrabel and these guys like that, you know, I think them type of guys who I appreciate and are the reason why you want to come to work. You know, each and every day I wake up, I'd be like, all right, another day, we have to get better. And I know, for one, I know Coach T, you know, he wants the best out of me. So each and every day he pushing me, you know, we having them extra meetings, him telling me, like, bro, you could be the best in this game. Like, so to hear things like that and to see it and watch film each and every year how I improve, I think that right there just shows that, like, you know, each and every year I have improved. And, you know, just a man, you know, I try to be better than I was. And that's been my motto forever, be better than I was yesterday, you know, on the field and off the field. So, of course, I feel like I have grew as a man and as a player.
You're the first guy, I think, the first vet with the contract now that runs into what should be the start of the new stadium, really the foundational guy on this team. How much does it mean to you to kind of be that big of a foundational piece?
Well, I really haven't thought about, you know, the stadium and all that. I think my thing is, like, I want to be here in Tennessee. I want to play in Tennessee my career. I want to be here in Tennessee. I love the people in Tennessee. But most importantly, I love the guys on this team. You know, like I said, this whole process, not one time that, you know, that I want to just say that I wanted to leave Tennessee. You know, I wanted to be here in Tennessee. I wanted to get something done. So, you know, to make it, you know, an extension, you know, multiple years, you know, the 4-year whatever extension, you know, of course, leading to the new stadium. But, you know, when I first came in this league, especially after my rookie year, you know, I kind of knew that I would have to step up a little more, especially, you know, a good friend that I'm, you know, keeping contact with to this day, Jarrell Casey. When I knew that he was leaving, you know, I kind of knew, all right, you know, this is your time to be a leader and be more vocal, especially after my rookie year, and be, you know, try to be that captain that, you know, that needed to be here in Tennessee. And I think from that day forward, you know, that's when I saw that, you know, in myself that I could be that guy to help lead this team. And to this day, you know, I feel like I have a lot of work to do myself. So to this day, I still feel like I have,
you know, some work to do with this team, you know, because I do look at myself as, you know, the voice for this team, especially on defense. I look at them guys each and every day that, you know, we could be better. We could be better than we was, and we could actually get to our main goal. So, you know, I'm excited for what may come in the future, especially the stadium. But, you know, right now I'm just focused on today.
We hear oftentimes that you are, as Ran and Coach Rabel said, the walking embodiment of this team. How personally do you take that, and what would you say is an example of how you exemplify the mindset that they want to have?
I mean, I think it start off with just the way we want to play around here. You know, not just, you know, because we get taught the way that, you know, each and every day we get coached hard. You know, and I think it's not just, it don't come down to the coaches saying that all the time. It's about the players. And I think when you have the players doing it and talking it, I think that's when it's like, all right, this is what they want. And I, like I said, I'd have been around Coach Rabe. I know the toughness he want on our on team. I know the grit he want. And I know the type of effort he want us to play with. And so if I'm not out there doing it, then these other guys are not going to buy into it. So, and that's, I think, where I appreciate Coach Rabe the most. You know, when I'm not doing it, I get called out. You know, the best players get called out on this team, no matter who it may be. It could be from Derek down to anybody. So I think that's what simplify, like, what embodying this team, the way guys like myself, that I feel like, you know, a captain on this team, if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm playing the way that we can being coached with technique, fundamental effort, and all them things like that, full tilt. And I take pride in that. So, and then I think it's just off the field, you know. I like to be in the community and things in that nature. I want to inspire the youth. That's one of the biggest things I speak on a lot. So, you know, it's just not about on the field. And I think that's what, you know, we also talk about, you know, how about, you know, what we're doing in the community and stuff in that nature.
After the last game in Jacksonville, you kind of bared your soul. You showed, you know, talked about playing through the ankle injury and being kind of all in for this organization. Through this process, when did you kind of get the indication that they were going to be all in for you?
Well, I mean, I didn't really know at the beginning because, of course, we didn't have a GM in place. But when I first met Rand, you know, our first conversation, you know, was it. You know, when I sat down and talked to him and some of the stuff he told me, it was like, you know, I would be here in Tennessee. And, you know, I would say Rand kept his word. He'll man his word. He just joked with me about that. So, and I think that's the biggest thing for me. And just hearing it from our owner, Miss Amy. You know, I can't remember exactly what week it was. But, of course, it was after the fire. But, you know, just to hear her say, you know, you okay? Like, we're going to take care of you here. And I think that's what put me at ease. And from that day forward, like I said, I wasn't focused on, you know, just to cut this big contract. That's why I put a team in place for that. And, you know, my thing with been this offseason, just how can I get healthy and, you know, ready for this upcoming season.
You mentioned how much you love the city and community, of course, the team, obviously, but you've also done so much off the field, your new foundation, Give Them a Reason. How excited are you to continue the work you started off the field and continue this relationship with the city that meets – clearly means so much to you?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think my first event with my foundation was last year around Christmas time. You know, I think when we talk about off the field, because, you know, I came from a small town, and I know a lot of these kids don't have hope. And someone in the seat right now looking for that hope, looking for, like, that why. And it, so I think when you have a foundation like that, especially mine called Give Them a Reason, it's to inspire the youth and create opportunities, try to create opportunities for our youth. And each and every day, that's be my goal. When I see a young kid, you know, I never turn a kid down for a picture, you know, because they look up to us. And we setting examples. We're going giving back to our community and letting these kids know that they can be here, no matter if they want to be a lawyer or whatever it may be. You know, never give up on your dream. You know, I came up with this Give Them a Reason because, like, you know, when we growing up as a kid, we always want a handout, you know, and now it's like, why not? Why we can't get this offer? And I always, when I went back to my high school, I told them kids, give the coaches a reason to give you an offer and stuff like that. You know, the same way on this level, get his coaches a reason, excuse me, to get put you on the field. So I think that's the reason why I came up with that name. And like I said, now it's just like, you know, I hope it's a takeoff. I want to be more in the community here in Nashville. A lot of my community work been in Mississippi, you know, with sponsoring and naming the field house at my old high school and having all my camps in Mississippi. So I wanted that to grow, and I wanted to bring the, a lot more activities and, you know, things to Nashville. So. Yeah, just a lot of excitement from guys. You know, I saw a couple of guys this morning. You know, it just, to me, I think the main thing is, you know, just getting back around the guys, and I can't wait to get back around the guys. And, you know, like I said, we're going to have a complete new team. You know, a lot of these guys new to our team. I met Aziz is his name, right? Yeah, I met Aziz this morning, and I could tell already that, you know, he's going to be good for us, just the talk we had this morning. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to, you know, because I've been on the contract here, so it's not like I'm new to this team. So I'm just excited to see how much more we could grow as a team and, you know, get to our next step.
Jeff, from a football standpoint, what do you feel that you need to work on, improve on, to help take this defense to the level that you guys envision? And then also with coming back from the ankle injury, how has your training regimen maybe changed this offseason as you look to elevate?
Well, first, I mean, right now that's have been my focus, my ankle. I mean, I did get it, you know, cleaned up, and I feel fine right now. I think the main thing is just keep getting that ankle better, better right now. But I think when it come down to me as a me being a person, me personally, I think the consistent of my technique and you know, playing with, you know, my body lean that we talk about, and you know, Coach Ray and them always stressing it to me, just because I know and I have seen it, like when I'm playing with that technique that we talk about consistently, you know, no one could block me in this league. And I see it and I hear it all the time. So I think that's my biggest thing. How consistent can I be with them things? My technique, my fundamental, and my effort. And I think that's right there just as fine, because, you know, everything else take care of itself, my leadership and all that. I just want to be more consistent.
You talked about how meaningful the generational wealth is for you and the family. Just how'd you get to tell everybody, and what was it like getting to tell everybody you signed the deal?
Well, I mean, I think when I told we was in the group chat, and I told him, kind of my brother broke the news to everyone in the group chat. In the group chat, I was waiting to do it. He ended up breaking the news, like such and such. But I think, I mean, even though, you know, it was special, you know, just to be able to share that moment with my family, for them to be here today is special. When we was on the phone, it was me, my agent Paul, and my uncle, and we was like, It was a long talk, I would say, right before we made a decision, like, all right, this, what are we gonna do, guys? Like, everyone was like, are we in or not? But man, it was unbelievable. You know, I heard a couple of tears on the phone. I ain't gonna call no name, but nah, man, it was unbelievable, man. Like I said, I'm so grateful to have a team and have a family like I have. And you know, props to Rand and his team, you know, this organization. You know, we got the deal done, and I'm excited, man. Like I said, the work really just getting started for real. So,
you had a two-tiered tweet, I guess, after the news came out. Were you trying to maybe drop a teaser?
Yeah, no, I was just messing with the people. You know, I was wanting a little kick out of it, but it, you know, I knew this whole time that, you know, I was gonna be here in Tennessee. You know, especially the fans, they. You know, even when I'm not, you know, on social media, I'm walking into a restaurant. You know, he's stopping me and my girls. Like, you know, if they don't sign you, we gonna boycott this and that. I'm like, we have no words. I calm down. But nah, man, it just, you know, it's always good to always keep the fans in the loop. I think, you know, I'm big on, you know, on our support system. You know, we have some great fans here in Tennessee that support us, and you know, I always want to check in every now and then on Twitter with them or whatever it may be, mess with them. But you know, that was a little joke with the fans, and like I said, I mean, we have some great fans in Tennessee.
You talked about being patient through this. Last year, you played for a very inexpensive deal. Had to be patient with that, and then with the ankle, you weren't yourself for some of the time. Was it difficult to be patient through that, knowing that this day would probably come, but having to wait for it?
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Not one time did I think about this deal during the last season. I was thinking about the now because I wanted to win. I wanted to get to our goal, which didn't happen. So, like I said, not one time did I think about, you know, I'm really playing on this ankle right now, and I don't know what it may be in the future. I was just focused on that now. Like, and that was my goal, to be on the field each and every week for my team, my teammates. And so now I didn't think about, you know, of course, like, man, everyone know already, like, going into that season, you know, it was some thoughts, but, you know, I made a decision, and they could tell you that I was like, I want to play this year. I don't want nothing, all this extra stuff. I don't want to deal with it right now. And I came here and I played for my teammates and I played for this organization. So, no, I didn't think about it not one time. And I was just being patient with my ankle. I say that. That's the only patience I had to really kind of like settle down. But like, okay, just going to have to get through it this season. So.
You wanted to be patient. Why was it important to you to get that deal done before Super Bulldog Week?
No, it wasn't. I wouldn't say before Super Bulldog Weekend. I'm sure that's a Paul question for he told you asked that something like that. But my goal was to get it done when the right time, when both sides came to agreement. Like I said, we came to agreement. I was on a phone call with my team, and we came to an agreement, and it just so happened to be before we, Mississippi State spring game this weekend. So, you know, I'm sure them fans would be crazy and be excited, you know, for the news. I've already been getting a lot on social media already, but like I said, I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. I'm excited to see what the future brings for this organization and myself.
Making such a big deal out of you taking the Titans off your social media? Nah,
man. Like I said, told everyone earlier, I don't think – I know it was like a news, like alert. But my biggest thing, I wanted to eliminate myself from all the distraction, you know, because I was getting tagged in this. I was getting tagged in that. And I think when it came down to it, you know, I didn't want to – that's kind of the reason why I kind of deactivated my page, because I wanted – to just focus on getting healthy. I wanted to focus on working out and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say, didn't mean to, like, you know, make it a big deal. Of course, it's ended up being a big deal. But my goal was to just focus on myself at that time because, like I said, I was dealing with the ankles. I was dealing with, you know, it's just other stuff off the field, you know, just being an adult. So I would just focus on that at the time. So I wasn't trying to make that a big deal, so.
Yep. All right, that was Jeffrey Simmons at the podium. Jonathan Hutton will join us in just around 10 minutes. So we will join Jonathan Hutton coming up next and give some of our reaction to Jeffrey Simmons' press conference. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And hey, join 102.5, the game, for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you will have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. We just heard from Jeffrey Simmons at the podium. Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow will join us in just a few moments. But I think my biggest takeaway from Jeffrey Simmons was good for Jeffrey Simmons. Good for him. I think it really did come from the heart of how he felt about the deal, of staying in Tennessee, of how he feels this responsibility of being a leader on the defense and really a leader in the locker room as a whole. Good for him. I'm glad that he got the deal.
Yeah. I mean, you can be legitimately happy, proud, excited for a guy like Jeff. He's done everything that a first rounder is supposed to do, and some on the field, off the field. He's just kept his head down and just kept doing the work. He's become a vocal leader on this team. And he said, listen, the best way, in a sense, he said the best way to lead is by example, going out there and doing the things that the coaches are asking you to do. Because if I don't do it, then these younger guys are not going to do it. They're going to feel they don't need to do it. So I need to be the one, along with other guys on that defense, but when you're talking about the leaders, he needs to be the one to set an example. What the coaches, because you hear coaches say it all the time, and it's just like a parent. After a while, it just falls on deaf ears. It's like, okay, you've been saying the same thing over and over. That's why, you know, some parents can't coach their children, because it's like you can't get the most out of them a lot of times. But the person, like if I'm coaching my kid, I may not get the most out of him, so I send him to Willie, and he's going to really listen to Willie. Why? Because he has no other choice. With me, he can probably, you know, kind of do it because I'm his dad, you know. So Jeffrey is like, listen, if I don't do it, these other young guys are not going to do it. So the coaches are telling me, I'm not only telling the players, but I'm giving them examples of me going out there, even when I'm hurt, going out there and grinding it through. You can play when you're hurt. When you're injured is a different story. You can play when you're hurt. He's an example of that. So kudos to Jeff. I mean, he earned every penny that the Tennessee Titans gave him.
Man, I'll tell you, that was really something to hear. The two things that really jumped out at me were him talking about his family, mm-hmm. and how, you know, when he was going through tough times, trying to push through, playing hurt, playing through the pain, he was thinking about his mom. That was a really, really cool opening up your heart to the fan base to hear your story. And I love how he expressed his appreciation for how the Titans, and I think we've always sensed this, but to say it again, how the Titans stood by him. Everybody knew his story. I remember when that story happened. I was sitting in this studio, and you know, you don't at the time. I didn't know anything about Jeffrey Simmons, and then I saw the video. Mm-hmm. So we all had a first impression. Most of us who didn't know Jeffrey Simmons at all, other than he's a high recruited football player. Mm-hmm. That's all I knew. You see a video, and you're like, oh man, what does this mean?
Why would anyone think anything different?
100%. And so he had a lot to overcome. Mm-hmm. From that, and he knows that, and so he, you know, he is so thankful that the organization learned more about him, the person, the full picture, not just his greatest mistake, right? And so, you know, you felt that. I thought that was really interesting that he sort of led with that, starting with the owner, Amy Adams-Strunk, the relationship he's built with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty cool. How can you not root for a guy like that? I mean, that is the guy. You saw it from Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Rand Carthon hasn't been there as long, but you like to make investments in the people that you know, like, who knows what could happen? He could mm-hmm. hurt his ankle again. He may never be the same player. There's a lot of things could happen mm-hmm. when you sign this deal, but you feel good about the investment. There's other guys like, yeah, we got to sign him. He's a great player,
but
I don't, but, you know, you have no qualms about investing in this guy.
But because he embodies what Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff and Rand Carthon believe a Tennessee Titan should be on and off the field. You know, more importantly to them, it's, you know, the things that he's doing on the field and the player he's been to them on the field. And he embodies everything that they've preached throughout those walls. So when he gets a opportunity to sign a contract like that, you sign him to that contract. And, you know, like Jeff said, listen, I'm glad Jeff said that, like, the work has just begun, because I think sometimes players, when they sign these huge deals, they think I've arrived, I've made it. No, you haven't. In a sense, you haven't made it. You make it when you start producing on this big contract, because now the pressure starts. Because every game, you thought every game people looked at you and scrutinized you, whether it's Jeffrey or anybody else. times that by two or three now because the contract is greater. They're going to be scrutinizing everything that you do because of the contract. So the real pressure starts. And I'm glad Jeffrey said that. Like, listen, now this is when it starts now. You know, what I'm doing, it really starts now because now there's more responsibilities on my shoulder because I am the guy. One, I'm the highest paid guy on the defense. And two, I'm another year older and another year as a leader. And three, this team is making a transition. So I, along with Kevin Byard and some of these other veterans that have been there, we got to help steer this ship in the direction that the franchise has been talking about we need to go. So we have to be there, and it starts now. I've signed this contract. Cool, great. Everybody cried. Everybody was, yay, yay, yay. But put that aside. The hard work starts. I gotta make do on this contract. The hard work starts today. So I'm glad he did say that because he knows that just because I signed this deal, it's not the end. It's only the beginning.
Let's get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on it coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.